Welcome back to A Slice of Empathy podcast. In today's episode, we speak with Katie Andrews, who left everything in the UK back in 2022 to pursue her dream of travel. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm super excited to learn more about your journey.
I also really, really love to travel. And I was particularly interested in your journey, selling everything that you own back in the UK to follow your passion of travel. What maybe kind of sparked your interest in making such a monumental change in your life?
Okay, well, there was a lot of things going wrong for me back in the UK. So I guess you could imagine that I hit a bit of a breaking point, a bit of a crossroads in my life, if you will. So, you know, things were going wrong, like, you know, my husband got made redundant from the hospitality industry, which threw me back into work. But then I was in a job where I was, you know, being overwhelmed with work and toxic management. And there was just thing after thing going wrong, really. And it just got to the point where I'd had enough. You know, my life wasn't bad per se, but it was just like, do you know what? I need a change of direction. I'm approaching, you know, 40 now. Like, what is it I want from the next chapter in my life, really? And then I sort of did a bit of soul searching, a bit of journaling, a bit of thinking. And this was all around, you know, COVID as well, where I was kind of thrown into that because we couldn't go out often apart from going to the supermarket. So a lot of journaling. And I was like, I really want to sort of go traveling. I was quite envious of a lot of students that, you know, leave uni and take a break and go travel in the world. And even though I'd done a little bit of that, you know, with holidays and stuff, I wanted to do more because what I found, and I don't know if any of your listeners can relate to this, when you go on holiday, it's very hard to take everything in because you're on holiday for a break, right? And I find that a lot of opportunities just kind of are like a blip because you're just so tired. And then you feel like you need another holiday when you get back to your 9-to-5 job. So that's kind of what inspired me, really. It was that sort of breaking point and a lot of thinking and reflecting, really.
I love that. And it's funny you just mentioned that. I actually, a few weeks back, just went to London and Paris, and I felt exactly that way when I came back. It was just everything just happened so fast. I think I saw it was like 8 days I went to London and Paris, and it just didn't seem like long enough. And so when I got back, I'm like, On one hand, it wasn't long enough to really get the full experience. But on the other hand, when I come back and going back into work, I'm like, I need another vacation because it's like, it's so fast paced. So I totally understand what you mean.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's something that I feel like more folks are so inclined to do. I remember I worked at a position where one of my colleagues had taking a year off. And I was always just so inspired by that. I'm like, oh, that sounds really cool to be able to, like, you know, quit your job and travel the world. And I feel like so many of us have, like, there's some hesitation in doing that. Well, I have this or I have that, or, you know, different reasons. And for anyone who may be kind of toying with that idea, but might be hesitant, how would you, what are maybe some tips or words of advice that you might have for someone who might be thinking about doing that, but is maybe a little bit intimidated?
Yeah, the intimidation I can absolutely understand, you know, even through my journey. And even when I was absolutely clear that I wanted to do it, there were still doubts that crept in because that's what our mind does to us, right? It makes us think, you know, it wants to protect us. So it starts, you know, putting the self-doubt and thing creeping in there. I think the biggest tip is bring it back to your why. You know, why are you doing this is really important because, you know, that's evidence that you can challenge the negative mindset with. And also as well, getting really clear on your purpose, your vision and your goals, because again, that can really drive you forward when things get a little bit challenging and a little bit tough. So a lot of reflecting on that, you know, why are you doing it? What is your purpose moving forward? What is it you want to do it for? You know, because travel's great, don't get me wrong, but it can be, you know, really tiring and overwhelming. You know, it's not all, you know, perfect in paradise, should we say. So it's about thinking about what you want to gain from it as well. You know, I wanted to gain a lot of resilience and a lot of strength from it. I was already strong, but I wanted to really build on that and become even more independent and stuff. So it's about really understanding what you want to gain from it. And also thinking about, you know, who are you going to go with? You know, I admire a lot of solo travelers. That takes a lot of guts to do that. You know, I'm doing it with my husband. And that would probably be a different ball game. But just thinking about if you are going to do solo, you know, who can you surround yourself by? You know, there's a lot of networking groups and, you know, platforms like Workaway and stuff where you can meet like-minded people. So it's about thinking about what are your goals with it, but also what are the challenges and the things you're struggling with and trying to find a solution. And like I say, if it's a fear of, oh, am I going to be alone and is anything going to happen to me, think about who you can surround yourself by and who you can maybe check in with, you know, just for safety and stuff. So that would be my thing, just understanding your purpose and your why, and that can help give you the determination to keep going.
Oh, that is so true. And it's interesting. Actually, speaking of solo travel, it's something that I kind of started doing probably maybe back in like 2018 or so. I flew from California to Florida for a convention by myself because my husband was working and he couldn't get up work at the time. And so I'm like, I kind of toyed with the, I don't know if I should go. And I ended up going, and to this day, I do not regret it at all. I met some amazing people. Yeah, so I had an amazing time and I would 100% do it again. But I remember kind of leading up to that, I had friends and family like, are you sure? Is it safe? And even, oh, your husband lets you travel alone. And it's like, well, yeah. And it's funny because I was recently just talking with my mom. I'm actually going to New York next week. It's like a very quick trip. And I'm going like on a solo trip very briefly to New York City. And my mom's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, is it safe? Da, da, da. And so I really think that like, if you're practicing like mindful awareness and basic safety, I definitely think it's a very empowering thing for a woman, especially. And I would 100% like anyone who's maybe even thinking about it, 100% advocate, just go for it. Like you won't regret it because unfortunately, we may not always have someone to go with. So why miss out is kind of how I feel. And even though I do love to travel with others, sometimes it's just not possible. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. So let's kind of pivot a little bit. I know you have a background that kind of involves stress and procrastination. And can you tell me a little bit about maybe your personal experience with that and how has that influenced how maybe you help others in your business?
So procrastination for me, I think, you know, just kind of peeling back the layers and going back was a learned behavior from parents. So, you know, being an only child, I think my mum used to kind of, you know, sort of not mollycoddle me, but, you know, kind of protect me a lot more. And a strand of that was she used to procrastinate herself about things to do with me and things to do with life and money and stuff like that. And I think that's a bit of a learned behavior from her. But more so, it's me in my own life. You know, we have to take responsibility for our actions, don't we? And, you know, one of my biggest stresses, if you will, or triggers of procrastination was stress. You know, stress is a big thing and it's unavoidable, unfortunately. But that is one of the biggest things. You know, I would get a bit of stress or a high level of stress and procrastinate. And for me, I'm not just a procrastinator, I'm a perfectionist as well, making it even more tough. So if I couldn't do a job to the absolute best of my ability, I would stress about it. I wouldn't necessarily put things off. This is where I'm a bit different with procrastination. I would be the other way of, oh, I must get all these things done now and stress about it and worry about it. So I wouldn't always put things off. I would just kind of put so much weight on myself that things became almost unachievable to get everything done, if that makes sense. So that's kind of where I was. But in terms of how I managed it, you know, procrastination, there isn't really a cure for it. You know, I always see it as it's linked to mental health in a way, and there can always be times when it can rear its ugly head, but it's about recognizing it. You know, self-awareness is absolutely key, and having a mindset and a strong mindset is key to be able to deal with the challenges when they occur. But it's about recognizing it and then kind of being kind to yourself in a way and going, do you know what? I can't do everything, but what can I wake up today and actually do and achieve? And, you know, what can I positively defer, if you will, to the next day? Because I can't do everything, you know. So there's been big shifts for me. And I think traveling has really helped with the procrastination for me, because when I first started traveling, I used to try and plan it to the nth degree. And then I realized things would go wrong, sometimes things outside of my control. And at first it would stress me out a bit. But then thinking about it, things will go wrong. You know, sometimes visas won't come through. Sometimes flights will be delayed, or you'll arrive at accommodation and nobody will let you in. So it's about looking at the challenge and going, okay, well, what can I do now as a solution to resolve this? You know, basically dealing with what's biting first and then giving yourself a pat on the back because you've dealt with what you need to deal with and anything else can wait. So I hope that answers your question. So, yeah.
No, I really appreciate that. And it's interesting you mentioned that. I kind of like to say, and it's something that I only really started traveling maybe like just before the pandemic. So it was like probably late 2019. And I've kind of learned over these short, almost going on 5 years, that to really kind of plan for the unexpected. And I know it's a real struggle, especially initially for me. I used to like want to like plan everything to a T, but then as you're mentioning, like things would go wrong and there are just some things that we may not be able to foresee. And a lot of folks that I have chatted with, they're very much, I'm type A, I'm a planner person. And I think I've had folks tell me for that reason that it's really hard for them to really get on board with traveling because they're such planners. And I can totally respect that. And for me, I kind of had to, there was that hurdle because I love travel, but then I kind of get that free travel anxiety of like all these things that I have to do leading up or and take care of all these things. Sometimes it's not even just the travel itself, it's getting everything done at work and then getting everything packed. And it would give me so much anxiety. And now I like to say, like, kind of plan for the unplanned. So kind of expect things to go wrong and then like kind of have a solution if they do come up. So I think that's really been beneficial for me. And I think that might help our listeners as well. But yeah, I definitely, I totally understand where you're coming from. And that's my mind, like, totally just went there. Actually, just coming back from my most recent trip we had, we ended up going to the wrong airport and that was the whole thing. And we missed our flight. And yeah, but it ended up being like, okay, like overall, and like trying to like, you know, keep our cool. Okay. Like this, you know, it happened and we can only go from here on out. So yeah, I really like that you mentioned that. What are some strategies that you might recommend for folks who might be looking to transition from procrastination to empowerment and goal achievement?
The first thing I would say is I do have a new ebook out, actually. It's a 60-page free ebook called Time Ninja, Conquering the 9-to-5. So it is more aimed at professionals that are trying to navigate the 9-to-5 and feeling like they've not got enough time and they're procrastinating over the things they can and can't do. So I'll give you the link to that. So that's a good book people can download. And there's lots of strategies in that. And there's actually a 14-day time management plan to help people start seeing some results, you know. So that's the number one thing. But also, it's like I said before, it's about building on that self-awareness for me. I realize, looking back now, that there's been times where I've dealt with procrastination actually quite well, and I've not given myself a pat on the back. And, you know, that self-awareness and looking back at times when you have procrastinated and you've dealt with it well and you found a solution can be a way to deal with procrastination in the moment and remind yourself of, you know, you can do this. You've done it before. You found a solution before. What did you do last time? Is there any sort of like keys in there from last time that you could use this time? You know, like clues. So that's another thing, looking back and seeing what you've done well and giving yourself a pat on the back. And another thing for me that I wish I would have done a lot more when I was in the pit of procrastination is to speak to like-minded people, speak to, you know, not so much friends and family, because they will sometimes tell you what you want to hear, but like people like, you know, mentors, coaches, you know, professionals that have maybe dealt with stress a lot, you know, try and surround yourself with people, because it can feel really isolating sometimes. I know I've done that in the past. You know, I am quite introverted, and there is the desire sometimes to sort of stay in that pit of procrastination alone. But if you can sort of share it a little bit, it can be freeing even doing that before anybody gives you any sort of wisdom. So those would be my key tips. Build on your self-awareness, look back at times when you've done well with procrastination, and speak to people, and maybe download my free 60-page ebook, you know. So those would be my tips.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check those out, as I often struggle with procrastination a lot, and my husband does too. And I know for me, what I found like really helps is like, sometimes I'll look at something, this task, like, okay, I want to achieve this. For me, it's writing and finishing a book. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I look at the whole, everything that it takes from that start to end. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. And then I keep putting it off. And I think what's helped me, not even just with that, but with many other things, is breaking it down into like bite-sized chunks. Even if it's like 5 minutes a day, that's going to add up over a year. And so after a year, you look back and wow, look how much I accomplished. Like, I didn't need to like write that whole thing in one day. And so I think that's kind of helped me a little bit, even though I still kind of struggle a little bit, but like kind of learning, I think, to manage my time better has kind of helped with that. Even though admittedly, like, especially with school or deadlines at work, I found that I work really well under pressure. I get really motivated, but it's not ideal, you know, to be doing those things last minute. But yeah, I think that's kind of organizing my schedule and kind of breaking things down has really helped me a lot.
I think you're right. And at the end of the day, you know, if you were coming to me and telling me that you were, you know, procrastinating over writing a book, my question to you would be, well, what do you imagine a lot of authors do? They break it down. They work out what the chapters are. They do it in a methodical sense, don't they? And then they write chapter by chapter. And even writers probably get writing block, you know, let's be honest. But they'll come back to it when they get that sort of inspiration again, and they'll pick up pen and paper and they'll try again. So at the end of the day, it's about trying to remind ourselves of that actually books are written in chapters. They're not all written in one go, unless you've, you know, got a sudden surge of, you know, motivation. But ultimately, they're written in chapters, and you're not a robot, are you? You're a human being, and there's only so much that you can do before you need a bit of a reset. So that's why I would be saying to anybody who wants to write a book, you know, do as little or as often as you can, and just keep coming back to it. You know, it'll eventually get out into the world, won't it? You know,
that's so true. And it's funny, because there are some writers I really admire where they've said that they've had an idea or a story that has taken them anywhere from 4 to 10 years to write, just depending on. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't feel so bad, because here I am. I've had this idea since 2019 and I've barely made any progress, but you know, it could still happen. Like, I don't have to give up on it. And so that's kind of reassuring to hear that, like, okay, yeah, so many other people are going through the same thing.
Absolutely.
So I'm kind of thinking about procrastination. Are there any success stories in terms of your practice, anything that you'd maybe like to share with us that you think our listeners might be able to resonate with?
I've had a fair few clients over the years, and you know, there are some success stories, but I guess one that really comes to mind is I had a lady who came to me because, you know, she was procrastinating. There was quite a few, you know, big life goals she wanted to achieve, and she needed the accountability. You know, that is one of the big things that people come to a coach for, is that's, you know, that accountability, the can kind of like stop people procrastinating in a way, because they know they've got somebody to be accountable to, and that can really give them a focus. And, you know, she wanted to do Tough Mudder. I don't know if anybody knows that, but it's quite, you know, it's like a sort of like an exercise regime where you drink so much water and you do so many like assault courses and stuff. So she wanted to get fit and do that and lose weight. And then through sort of unpicking the layers, which is something that I do, because a lot of people, they have an idea of what they want or anything that's holding them back, but actually through conversations and questioning, sometimes other things come to the surface. And after a few sessions, we realized that money was an issue. She was lacking in self-confidence and didn't feel worthy of money because of things that had happened to her negatively in her life. And then, you know, we agreed that one strategy she was going to do was have money close to her so she could feel it and see it and smell it. And also, you know, have little goals around money in terms of treating herself and rewarding herself, you know, when she procrastinates less and achieves her goals. And, you know, this was nearly 2 years ago now that I coached this individual, and I still check in and I still see how they're doing because I still want them to succeed, right? And, you know, she's still going from strength to strength. She's still keeping the weight off. She's still fit. Does she still procrastinate? Absolutely. But she's now got the strong mindset to be able to deal with it. She's going on more holidays. She's treating herself. She's having tattoos that she likes. So she's really getting to grips with that money thing that was holding her back and just living her best life and succeeding. And for me, that's what it's all about for me. You know, one of my goals and purposes is to help people succeed. You know, that's what gives me the dopamine here. That's what makes me wake up in the morning. And she's probably one of my big successes. There's been others, but she really stands out because she's still really pushing forward each day towards the life that she wants. So yeah, just even talking about that makes me smile, to be honest.
Oh, I love that. That's so amazing and inspiring. And I think whenever we have a kind of a goal ahead, I think it's just so important to kind of keep in mind, like, the why, as you were saying, why are we doing this? And especially when it comes to fitness goals, I think so many people can relate to that. Why am I doing this? And I feel like for me, it has to be more than just, let's say, okay, I want to lose weight, but why do I want to lose weight? I want to live a long time. I want to be healthy and different things like that. And kind of breaking it down has like really helped. So I appreciate you that sharing that. That's a really amazing story. And for anyone, I know a lot of folks kind of struggle around procrastination as kind of a mindset. I've heard several folks would be like, you know, oh, I'm just a procrastinator, or I tend to procrastinate. And so they kind of associate it as kind of part of their identity. Is there any tips or anything that you'd maybe like words of advice that you might want to give to maybe anyone who kind of is maybe struggling with that mindset as kind of like part of themselves, like they can't maybe do anything about it?
Again, it comes back to knowing who you are. So, you know, if you need to take a piece of paper and write down, who am I, then that's a good way to kind of like reveal your identity. At the end of the day, procrastination is a state of mind. You know, that is all it is. It's a state of mind. It's a thought process, you know, triggered by life events. It's not who we are. It's just something that we're navigating and going through, just like any other challenge that we go through in our life. You're right. A lot of people do say, I'm a procrastinator. No, you're not a procrastinator. You're just somebody who procrastinates. You know, it's about changing the wording of it, I think, because I used to do it myself. I'm a procrastinator, but no, I'm not. I'm just somebody who stresses and in turn I procrastinate. You know, it's funny because if we think I am a procrastinator, I never used to say I am a stressor, but actually I am a stressor is probably more closer to that than I'm a procrastinator, because it's stress all of the time that causes the procrastination. So yeah, it's about reminding yourself of who you truly are, you know, a strong, independent person that likes X, Y, and Z, and writing down your achievements. It's about trying to instill more positivity in yourself, because like I say, the mind can be our greatest asset or our worst enemy. And a lot of the time it's our worst enemy because it wants to protect us. But actually, it's not protecting us half the time. It's restricting us. And this is where, like I said to you before, going back to times where you procrastinated well, should we say, like, how did you overcome it? You know, did you positively defer things and stuff? Did you get past it? Reminding yourself of tangible evidence of why you are good, why you are worthy, what you've overcome is really important. And I think reflecting often has been a big thing for me. Now, sometimes I'll get a journal out, sometimes I'll just take some time to think through things through my mind. But, you know, I have found with changing my life, changing my environment, focusing on who I want to be and where I want to go has really helped with the procrastination. Like I say, there's times when that still occurs, but I'm in the right frame of mind now because I've built my self-awareness up and I've shifted my environment that's important to me to be able to deal with it and go, oh yeah, I'm procrastinating in this moment. Let's take myself back to a time when I did it well. What can I do to get past this? So yeah, it's about trying to instill as much positivity as possible. And if you struggle with that, which some people do, it's about surrounding yourself with positive people. You know, look around you. Who are you surrounded by? You know, one of the reasons that I used to procrastinate a lot is because I was surrounded by negative energy, toxicity, you know, bad lighting. You know, this is why environment's important to me. I need a lot of sunlight and stuff. So shifting a lot of those things and recognizing if you've got any energy drainers can be a big help, because if you're surrounded by people that are negative, it's hard to get into a positive mindset.
Well, that's absolutely true. And I think going back to what you were saying about, like, we ourselves aren't a procrastinator, we procrastinate is just a very important distinguishable difference. And I love that you mentioned that, because especially I think a lot of folks struggle with imposter syndrome. And so in that mindset, I think it's just so easy to be like, well, I'm a procrastinator, or that's just who I am kind of thing, and kind of get stuck there because innately we might feel that maybe we're not worthy or that we're not deserving of good things. But as you mentioned, it's just so important to kind of like think about our environment and the people that we surround ourselves with. I know for me, that's one of the reasons why I really love to travel. It's just, it makes me just feel so alive. And it's almost like a form of therapy. And so kind of going back to that, are you currently in the UK right now?
I'm not. I've been traveling for the last 2 years, parts of South America, Mexico, Costa Rica, Colombia, and then sort of like slowly moving over to Asia. I've not gone back to Europe yet. I've done that years ago. So that might happen eventually, because we will be going back to the UK briefly next year for a friend's wedding. So we may go a little bit into Europe. But, you know, we spent a lot of that 2 years around Asia because it's expensive. You know, I really like Asia. I've touched on it. And, you know, in the past, it's nice to go back and see if and how things have changed. So, yeah, I've been traveling continuously for the last 2 years. You know, do I know what the future holds? No, I don't think any of us do, but I'm trying to live more in the present moment and go, do you know what? I'm lucky and blessed that I've created this life for myself by taking a leap, taking a risk, doing the things that I want to do. And it's very, like you say, empowering. And when times can be challenging, because stress can still creep in at times, it's about reminding myself of the fact that I did take that leap. And you know, sometimes people will say, you know, what are you running away from? I don't know if you've ever had this with travel. And I say, no, it's more about what I'm running away to. Because for me, I wasn't running away from anything in the UK. I just had enough. I wanted a change to be happy. And I wanted to kind of embrace that and take a leap. But it's interesting how some people see the negative, like think there's a negative side to going away and taking a leap on travel. But for me, it's been amazing. It's been a strengthening of character. It's helped me build resilience. It's made me appreciate different cultures and how some people have very little, but they're very happy and they've got a smile on their face. And how some people in the West, you know, they go to work, they've got the nice house, the car, but a lot of people seem miserable, you know, and I was one of them. So it's really interesting to see that. But yeah, I'm lucky and blessed that I've been able to travel for the last 2 years. And part of that is selling up, you know, selling the house, selling everything. And it was very freeing doing that, you know, getting rid of stuff, getting rid of clutter, selling things that I hadn't touched in years, you know, just very freeing, if you will.
I love that. And yeah, I can totally imagine, like, I think it's just so liberating being able to kind of, especially if like you are choosing to do it, there's something about making such a big change, and it feels liberating in a way, in order to get rid of things that are maybe in a way like tying you down, so to speak. And I love that you mentioned that, because I think it's so important for our listeners and so empowering. It's inspiring to me, surely. And yeah, as you mentioned, I'm sort of new to traveling. I started only doing it a few years back, but in that 5 years or so, I have learned so much. A large amount of time has been spent traveling Europe. And we also went to Thailand back in 2022, and just seeing like the way different people live in different parts of the world and getting to experience different cultures. And it's just so eye-opening to see like how much different lives are led in other parts of the world. And so sometimes it actually, especially when returning home, and kind of, I know the U.S. is known for kind of being like very like work-centric and like work mentality. And there's not like a lot of, I feel like, awareness towards like take like self-care and taking time for yourself. It's like very much about the hustle culture. And in my travels, kind of realizing, kind of learning about the quality of life elsewhere has been really eye-opening for me personally. And as a foodie, of course, I really enjoy trying different cuisines as well. So it's like, I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I wish I started doing this sooner. And so yeah. We can't go back, but we can only go forward. And now it's just like, I want to do it more and more. And I love it so much. So I'm thinking, if there is someone who's maybe considering maybe having a similar path of leaving things behind, to pursue like their passions, are there any maybe words of advice, anything that maybe folks should keep in mind?
I think, you know, it's ultimately about giving it a go. You know, again, your mind is going to be probably your worst enemy in it, and it's going to try and make you find all the reasons why you shouldn't do it. But you need to find all the reasons why you should do it, and you need to do that ASAP before you even start planning your travels, because you are going to be hit with those mental blocks and you need to be ready to challenge it. You know, I even got it myself, even though it was uber clear that I wanted to do it, my mind was still going, oh, well, you know, there's danger. And I even had my mum at the time going, careful of danger, and are you sure you want to do it? And you know, she was obviously trying to protect me, but at the same time the self-doubt and stuff will creep in. But it's about linking back to that why again. And I remember saying to my mom, but I want to do it, mom, ultimately I want to do this and I want to give it a go because I'm not happy. And in the end, even my mom could see how happy I was, and she couldn't wait for photos, and she was eager to see where I was going next. It was interesting to see how it trickled to those people that were a little bit skeptical and wary and trying to protect me. So yeah, it's about being ready to challenge those mental blocks. If you can do that, it's a game changer, you know. And like I say, if you can, you know, be mentally prepared that things will and can go wrong, because that's not something I really thought about, I guess, which I should have done. But I just kind of went for it and kind of semi-thought that everything was going to be perfect. And actually, it's far from it. So it's just kind of having that awareness that things are probably going to go wrong more often than not, but it's about, okay, you know, let's just take a leap and go for it and enjoy the journey, you know, take, you know, time in each place. You know, one thing that I not regret, because I don't like having a regret these days, but I wish I would have spent a bit more time in each place. You know, I was kind of moving around a lot because I was like, travel, excited, all these places, but actually take some time in each place and absorb it and enjoy it. And, you know, if you need to extend the visa, do, but that'll just help you like relax and rather than being going full throttle, you know, which can sometimes add to the stress sometimes. So yeah, that'd be my number one tip, just really be ready to challenge the mindset, and then hopefully you can achieve everything, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny you mention that, because when I think about savoring time, especially during travel, it, actually coming back from my most recent trip, my husband and I were talking, and I'm like, you know, we really just didn't get enough time in either place. So I think next time we're either going to just like focus on either have a longer trip and have like a budget of more days, like for each place, or we're going to choose one place and maybe stay like there for a week and like that in that one area and really focus on it. And so, yeah, cause I just feel like when we came back, it was just, everything was a blur. It happened so fast, and it was everything so fast paced, cause you're trying to cram so much into like a small amount of time. And I think like for us, like one of the things we wanted to do while we're in Paris was see the Louvre, and we ended up not having enough time. And so like, okay, yeah, we're definitely gonna have to plan to go back and spend a little more time. Same thing with London too. I feel like we could have had a little bit more time to do different things that we wanted to do. And just kind of like taking it slow. Like, and I think like for me, what's helped in travels is having just like even a day or two. Like, I know it's like so common, especially if you're spending a short amount of time in some place, but at least have a day or two, at least just to physically be present and not necessarily have things booked or planned, just to kind of experience like what's around you is like really important.
I agree. You need resting periods as well where you don't do much. You know, I used to cram so much in the places where, you know, it was a bit rushed, that we wouldn't have a lot of resting time. And that adds to the tiredness, the stress, the procrastination. So resting is absolutely key. You know, just by the pool or reading a book or whatever it is you want to do.
Absolutely. When kind of thinking about your travel experiences, how do you integrate your travel into your work of helping others increase confidence and clarity?
So for me, you know, I have to have balance. I'm a Libra anyway. I need balance in my life. Otherwise, I feel out of sync. And travel helps me with that. And having a good environment helps me that as well as the freedom and stuff that comes with it. So it's important for me with the travel to not only show up for myself in the best way, you know, energized and happy and everything, but also kind of transfer some of that to my clients. Because what I've realized when I've coached in jobs in the past is that I've been so overwhelmed with workload that, you know, turning up to each session to coach people, I'd sometimes have virtually no energy left. So it's important for me to keep my energy levels up with the resting and things and the balance. And, you know, I also believe that if I wasn't turning up as the best version of myself, I can give the best value to my clients. You know, it's important to me. So those are the main things. And also, you know, when I do turn up for clients, you know, just trying my best to, you know, help them achieve what it is that they're out to achieve. You know, I'll never take on a client if I feel that I can't help them. You know, personality is a big thing for me as well. We need to gel. And I could usually tell that, you know, from the first compatibility session we have. So it's important for me to have that rapport and that, you know, that sort of personality attraction, if you will, and also being able to help them. If I feel that I can't help them, I'll be totally honest. But if I feel that I can help them, then that's the big thing for me. And yeah, just turning up as the best version of myself. And that energizes them. You know, a lot of clients get motivated knowing that I'm traveling. You know, not everybody wants to travel, but just knowing that I'm out there achieving my goals and doing what I want to do makes them feel in a way that I can help them with their goals as well.
Oh, that's so true. I definitely think that's so important, and kind of especially your experience in your journey is so empowering. I can only imagine that would be so inspiring to your clients as well. Can you share maybe a memorable experience from your travels that maybe profoundly impacted your personal or maybe professional outlook?
There's been lots of both positive and difficult experiences. I think one of the things that really built my resilience is when we arrived in Colombia. We'd had a really long flight, you know, lots of jet lag and things like that, just like delays and stuff. It's like through immigration and everything. And then we arrived in Bogota and our accommodation, the lights were on, but nobody was home and we couldn't get in. And, you know, there was the army in the street with guns and stuff. And it was all disorientating, you know, really tired on this journey. And you just want to get your head down and you're like, oh my God. And in the moment, yeah, there was a bit of stress because you think, I just want to put my bag down. But actually we went, right, okay, we just need to focus now on getting a room and really getting in and settling down. And I think looking back now, that built my resilience because that was quite early on in the travel journey. You know, again, something that we didn't foresee. And, you know, I can look back on that now and go, that's really built my resilience. And it's a story I sometimes use with clients as well, you know, in terms of things going wrong and, you know, the circle of influence, if you will, and how we can only control so much. So I think that's sort of like the difficult experience. But there's been loads of positive ones as well, you know, like being in the desert in California for a night and having a fire and enjoying like fireworks and seeing the moon and the stars. So there's been loads of positive experience, and I try and bring them out in coaching calls when I need to, you know, when people need a little bit of inspiration and they're open to it. But yeah, there's been some challenges along the way, and I can look back and laugh now, but I think in the moment it can be hard because you're like, oh my gosh. But again, you just need to kind of just find a solution as quickly as possible, because otherwise it's just going to consume you and make you stress. And one of the things that I've learned is life's too short at the end of the day. You know, stress can be a really big thing if it's not managed properly. You know, it can lead to other conditions. So I want to stay healthy and well. You know, I'm reaching 40 now and I'm thinking about the next period of my life. And because stress used to be a big trigger for me, I want to manage it as much as possible and just live my best life, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, honestly, that's kind of been my motto a little bit too, these kind of past few years. In 2018, I had a cancer scare. And so ever since then, I'm like, you know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So, you know, we want to like live our best lives. And I think, I know even for me as well, I think like letting go of that control, because realizing that there are some things that aren't in our control, it's really difficult. But I think there's also something that's like really empowering in that too.
Absolutely. You know, I was with a client just the other day and, you know, they procrastinate. And, you know, again, I reminded them of the circle of influence because, you know, they're trying to find a job and, you know, job searching can be stressful, right? Especially in this current climate. But it's about thinking, okay, well, what can I do in this moment? What feels right? What needs to be done now? Because again, you can't do everything, you know, eventually that job will come along. But I think it can stress some people out of, because we need money, you know, unfortunately in this world, you know, we need that paper money to do a lot of things in life. But again, money, like the mind, is both a blessing and a curse, isn't it? You know, it can really like be good in a way, but also detrimental in a way and stop us from being the best version of ourselves. But it's just about going, okay, well, what can I do right now in this moment? And just trying to snap your brain out of it, because otherwise you just end up in that pit of procrastination, stressing about all these things that you feel you've got to do and stuff that doesn't even need to be done yet, you know? So that's what I try and do with clients. Just what can you do in this moment now? to feel positive, to kind of change your direction a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And I can totally relate to that because I'm actually going through something very similar right now. And it's really hard sometimes not to get discouraged. And I had been working for pretty much 10 solid years prior to being laid off somewhat recently. And it's, in a way, it's like, it's kind of a blow to the ego for one, but then also it's tough because like you know, eventually you're going to get that next opportunity. And leading up to that, there's going to be no's, there's going to be rejections, and kind of I think it's really about persistence and kind of keeping through that. And I know for a lot of folks, like they've gotten so tired of the rejections that they kind of maybe stop applying because they feel like it's like a dead end for them. And so like, I can sort of understand that, but at the same time, like, you know, if I don't keep at it, like that next big thing isn't going to come. And so also I think there's something empowering. And I think one of the pieces of advice that I had gotten is, and I think many people, especially in today's climate, can relate, but to maybe like an hour or two a day that you spend, whether it's interviewing or you're job hunting or whatever it is, and take that other time to focus on other things that you enjoy, at passion projects. For me, it's writing, doing podcasts, or cooking, or different things. Like they're like, enjoy that time that you have to kind of learn and feel yourself again, and kind of like what you're looking for, what's important to you. It's a good opportunity to kind of reconnect with yourself in that way, knowing that there will be an end point, even if we don't see it. And even if we feel discouraged, I think that's so important. So I really appreciate you bringing that up.
It's interesting that you say that, because back in about 2 years ago, when my husband was made redundant and we were both in a period of looking for work and it was stressful, I remember we had to go on the UK benefits very, very briefly, which doesn't pay well anyway, but that's a different story. So we didn't want to be on it for very long. But I remember having a conversation with the work coach, and they said, oh, you need to be applying for jobs all day, every day. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm not going to do that because it's demoralizing. And like you say, I want to go off and do other things. I need a break. I need a drink. I need, you know, a breath of fresh air. Like, I'll apply for jobs, but I'm not doing it continuously for like 7 or 8 hours a day. Plus, I don't think there was even any jobs to warrant that length of time anyway, because a lot of jobs are, you know, either filled and they're still on the job boards and stuff like that. So it's just funny you said that. It just sparked a memory in me. You know, do what feels right. Apply, you know, for an hour, go take a walk, come back and do it if you need to. But yeah, take a break, because otherwise you're like, oh, another job I've got to apply for, another job. And, you know, a lot of these companies, they want cover letters, which I find a bit tedious, to be honest. You know, everything's on my CV. So yeah, it's about taking those breaks regularly, isn't it? And just doing what you want to do so you can keep your identity. And it's funny what you said about redundancy as well. It can hit the ego. You know, I remember coaching somebody a while ago, and their confidence and ego took a real hit. And they again used to say, I've been made redundant. And I was like, try and change your mindset on that a little bit. Say that your job's been made redundant, because technically it's your job that's been made redundant. It's not a reflection on you. You know, you were doing your job well. It's just one day the rug was pulled from underneath you. And interestingly, that did change their mindset. They reconnected as to why they're worthy and why they'll eventually find another role. And luckily they did. They actually found a role quicker than they thought they would. So yeah, it doesn't define you, redundancy. It's just something that unfortunately happens sometimes, and probably will continue to happen in this climate, unfortunately. Hopefully things will change though. I've got my fingers crossed for everybody, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. And I totally know what you mean about feeling like you have to spend hours a day. Cause to be honest, I'll find myself wanting to do that. I'm like, okay, I got to keep doing this. Got to keep doing this until I find something. But then like, I find myself like, okay, I'm tired. I'm burned out. And I'm starting to feel like I did when I was burned out while I was working. And so that's why sometimes I feel like job searching can sometimes feel like a job in itself. And
yeah.
So I think it's like so important. It's and so it's easy for me to kind of go down that rabbit hole, spend like hours and hours at a time. And so until I get to this point, I'm like, why am I doing this? Why don't I take a break? Like, it's okay if I take a break and come back to this later and, or come back to it tomorrow, because I might start to get frustrated and that's not really going to help anything. So yeah, I 100% relate to that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me today. Before we kind of close out, can you share with us and our listeners where we can find you and connect with you, maybe book a session or check out your book? We'll include that in the footnotes down below as well.
Yeah, so I've got a really bizarre sounding website now. So I did used to have a bigger website, but what I found from experience is a lot of people would look at the first page and then not actually look at any of the pages. So I've streamlined my website for the procrastinators and the stressors out there. So it's a much more simple website. I will give you the link, because if I say it on here, nobody's going to remember the dots and slashes and everything in between, but essentially it's milkshake/Katie Andrews, but I'll send it to you. And on the very first page, they can see a link to the Time Ninja ebook. They can get straight in there and sort of download that book. And you know, a review is always appreciated, because if there's something that people want, I'll aim to deliver, but there's a lot of value in there. There's some good feedback on it already. And then on that same page, they can also pick a stress compatibility session, where if they do book a session, they can get a free coaching journal. And that's like 200 pages of, you know, reflection pages and mindset pages and health pages, where people can really start to work on their inner core and what it is that they want to achieve, as well as reflect on any coaching sessions. So that's a really nice freebie for people to have. And in that coaching compatibility session, I'll really get to know you. You'll really, you know, really get to know me, and we'll deep dive and peel back the layers in terms of why you're stressing, why you're procrastinating, what your goals, values, and strengths are, because that's important in terms of the why. And then we'll create a plan that feels right for you, so you've got something to be working towards after the call. And then I'll check in a week later and give you that accountability, so you can actually start to feel driven and move forward. And of course, if people want to continue working with me, that's a conversation we can have as well. So yeah, I'll give you the link after this. I'll send it to you in an email, and then that way people have got the exact email with those dots and dashes and everything in between. Is that all right? Is that good?
That's perfect. I'll make sure that I get that and include it in our show notes as well.
Fabulous. Well, it's been great to talk to you. Really appreciate sharing my story, and I hope, you know, even if one person gets some motivation from this, then it's a job done in my book. So thank you everybody for listening, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for such a beautiful conversation. I know I learned a lot, and I love learning about your travels and practical advice. That's been immensely helpful.
Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you later.